considera que después de 15 años de Plan Colombia que él concibió, con las cifras que hemos conocido de exportación de cocaína y siembra de hoja de coca, la guerra contra las drogas fracasó.
General Barry McCaffrey, thank you so much for joining us today here at W Radio Station. Let me start off with a question about Plan Colombia, because you are credited to be one of the main brains behind its creation. After 15 years of Plan Colombia, and considering the figures that we see today, in which cocaine production, exportation of cocaine, and the cultivation of the coca plant has risen almost exponentially, has it been a success or has it been a failure?
Well, first of all, I think that when you look back over the sweep of history in Colombia, Colombia has gone from a period of enormous danger, losing control of a third of the country to criminal organizations, to a period in which, as a general statement, the country has now regained control of its democracy. Most of that is due to the courage, to the professionalism of the Colombian Army and the Colombian police, Colombian Armed Forces and the Colombian police.
Julio, la verdad es que dentro de ese contexto debemos mirar la historia de Colombia, porque nuestro país pasó de vivir en un constante peligro, perder control de alrededor de un tercio de su territorio, que a su vez era controlado por organizaciones criminales. Ahora, si miramos el estado del país en este momento, pues Colombia ha ganado mucho territorio, controla a través de la democracia la mayor parte de ese territorio que en ese momento le pertenecía a las organizaciones criminales, y eso se debe al profesionalismo de las Fuerzas Armadas de Colombia.
And if I may, let me also add that it was also the political will of the Colombian people showing enormous courage in the face of kidnappings and bombings and assassinations, where they stood behind democratic institutions. And I might add that includes their political leaders, both Uribe, who stepped forward and said, we'll fight and die for democracy, and now Santos, who's trying to achieve a bridge to peace.
También podemos considerar que el Plan Colombia involucra y dio como resultado también una voluntad política del pueblo colombiano, que mostró un enorme coraje frente a esta violencia, frente a los secuestros, por ejemplo, y los asesinatos, y apoyaron las instituciones democráticas del país, y también hay que darle crédito a los líderes políticos tales como el presidente Uribe, que dijo en su momento que estábamos dispuestos a morir por la democracia, y ahora el presidente Santos, que se ha dedicado a construir un puente hacia la paz.
El senador Rubio propone impulsar a los colombianos para volver a la erradicación aérea. ¿Cree él que la solución pasa por la erradicación aérea, y cree que Trump se lo podría pedir al presidente Santos?
Senator Rubio is right now trying to push the Colombian people to advocate for aerial eradication of coca plantations. Do you believe in this method of combating these crops, or do you believe President Trump is also for this option?
I have no idea what President Trump is thinking about almost anything. However, I think without question, aerial eradication, using this chemical compound Roundup, which is the most extensively used agricultural product in the world, to include the United States and Europe and Colombia. If you don't do aerial eradication, that's the only point at which you can convince poor farmers better to go a route of legal crop cultivation than make more money more easily in coca. The only option is for the army and the police to go in and fight and die to do hand eradication. So I think the major turning point was when Colombia stopped using aerial eradication, and mostly that was because the FARC is actually a drug criminal organization and didn't want to see it continue.
Bueno, en primer lugar, él no tiene idea de lo que piensa el señor Trump de básicamente nada. Entonces, eso es una cuestión aparte. Pero él sí opina sobre la aspersión aérea. Dice que es necesaria, especialmente con el químico que se utilizaba, que además nos dice es el producto en la industria agrícola más utilizada alrededor del mundo, especialmente en Europa y en Estados Unidos. Nos dice que si no se lleva a cabo la aspersión aérea, pues va a ser muy difícil llegar al punto de convencer a los campesinos que pueden optar por otras alternativas de cultivo. Y la opción a la aspersión aérea sería que las Fuerzas Armadas y la Fuerza Pública entrara y de alguna manera más violenta erradicara los cultivos también. Entonces, en su opinión, el punto de quiebre en la producción de coca en el que empezamos a ver un aumento muy significante fue cuando se paró esa aspersión aérea.
Mariana, en la década del 90, el general McCaffrey acuñó la frase según la cual Colombia era un estado fallido. Y en el libro que se publicó el año pasado para conmemorar los 15 años del Plan Colombia, Enrique Santos Calderón señaló que Mr. McCaffrey alcanzó a decir muchas pendejadas. ¿Él considera que era una pendejada o que sí se justificaba hablar en los 90 del estado fallido que era Colombia? Y sobre todo, ¿qué ha cambiado a hoy para que diga que Colombia está muy bien?
General, in the 90s, you coined a phrase that we have very present here in Colombia, which is that Colombia was a failed state. And in a recent book, Enrique Santos Calderón said that you could say a lot of silly things. He was basically referring to this saying that Colombia was a failed state. Why, looking back, can you tell us about your reflections on what you said about Colombia and what makes you say today that Colombia is no longer a failed state?
Well, to be blunt, I never said Colombia was a failed state. What I went in and told the President of the United States was that Colombia was a democracy under major internal attack by criminal organizations, and that I thought it would inevitably fail, and it would probably happen on the next U.S. president's watch, and that Clinton would be blamed for not coming to the assistance of a sister democracy. And I think that was the turning point. The concept for Plan Colombia was actually entirely Colombian thinking, Colombian planning, Colombian military and police and organizational ability. The $1 billion a year we started to get was because the President of the United States, the Secretary of State, most of U.S. Congress finally believed me when I said, we must act now.
Juan Pablo, el general McCaffrey nos dice seriamente que él nunca dijo que Colombia era un estado fallido. Lo que le dijo al entonces presidente de Estados Unidos era que Colombia era una democracia con una amenaza de ataque interno por parte de organizaciones criminales y que él pensaba que Colombia iba a fallar y que iba a pasar cuando llegara el próximo presidente de Estados Unidos si el presidente Clinton no hacía nada al respecto a él. Lo iban a culpar por no ayudar a una hermana democracia. Él considera que ese fue el punto de quiebre donde nació el Plan Colombia, que además nos dice fue totalmente craneado por las fuerzas militares, la policía y las organizaciones de nuestro país, y que los billones de dólares que empezaron a destinarse para el Plan Colombia, pues fue porque el Congreso de Estados Unidos finalmente le creyó al general McCaffrey y finalmente le hizo caso.
Mariana, es inminente por las cifras el fracaso de la guerra contra las drogas, y así lo piensan muchísimos expertos en el mundo, presidentes, intelectuales, el presidente Santos. Ante las cifras que estamos hablando y que él conoce mejor que nosotros, ¿a él le parece imposible comenzar a discutir la despenalización?
General, we cannot help but recognize that the war against drugs has failed. This is, we're not the only ones to say this. President Santos has said this, and figures show it as well. Do you, in your opinion, after considering these figures, after considering all the history behind the fight against drugs, is it impossible to start a discussion about legalizing drugs or removing the harsh penalizations that we see surrounding drug trafficking?
Well, it's an interesting comment that frequently is heard in the United States also. I think it's utter nonsense. No good comes from widespread use of illegal drugs. It ends up in addiction. It affects our children. It affects our public life with corruption. It affects the workforce. I spend probably a third of my time in the United States dealing with the consequences of drug addiction. And I tell people that no mother or father, no corporation CEO, no army first sergeant of a company wants to see drug abuse in, among the people they care for and take care of. Now, I also would tell you that the notion, I've never used the word war on drugs. This is an argument that sounds as if the only thing one is doing is arresting people for drug use, when in fact we think the centerpiece of a strategy is an education and prevention program that tells parents and school teachers and Catholic priests and healthcare professionals to talk to adolescents and to make the argument that drugs are destructive of human life. So again, I think that every society has a responsibility to its own people to explain that drug abuse is a disease, a community-based disease that must be confronted with education, prevention, for treatment for those that are addicted, and then finally, where required, with sensible law enforcement.
Julio, el comentario es muy interesante, lo dicen muchas personas, él piensa que no es válido, no, digamos que él piensa que nada bueno puede salir del uso de las drogas ilegales. La adicción afecta a los niños, afecta a la vida pública, fomenta la corrupción. Él en sí pasó mucho tiempo lidiando con personas con adicción. Entonces piensa que las drogas, el problema de las drogas tiene que ser efectivamente combatido. Ahora, el término lucha contra las drogas, guerra contra las drogas, tampoco es apropiado, porque aparte de tener una política de leyes y que involucra a la fuerza pública, pues también hay que tener políticas de educación, especialmente en torno a los jóvenes, para que no caigan en el duro vicio de las drogas y todos los efectos negativos que puede tener en una sociedad.
Last question, y es de política doméstica. ¿Le preocupa el futuro del presidente Trump en su oficina, en la Casa Blanca, y el fantasma del impeachment?
The last question is more domestic for you. Are you concerned about President Trump's future in the White House and, let's say, the ghost of impeachment that is now leering above him?
Well, you know, I think the most important question asked of the U.S. political system is, why did 42 million Americans vote for Mr. Trump? And I think the answer is it was a growing sense of disgust with the two major political parties. And I am sympathetic to that viewpoint. So many Americans voted for Mr. Trump suspending judgment because it was obvious that although he had some good ideas and was viewed as authentic, unlike Secretary Clinton, but it was obvious to any thinking person that he was grossly unprepared to be President of the United States. He had 7 changes of political party, 5 bankruptcies, 3 marriages. He was a failed businessman frequently. He is abusive, impulsive, surprisingly ignorant about world affairs, and yet he retains a rather significant support among some in the population. But I think that the current course of action, legal, congressional, at some point will either change his behavior or they'll remove him from office.
General McCaffrey, thank you very much for your time and have you a good morning.
Okay, same to you.